You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Borelli, and today's August 20th, 2018. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today on the show, we have a new injector razor. That's right, a new injector razor based on an old concept from a well-reputable artisan. So we'll talk about that. Also, we have a question from our listener, Peter, who actually asked me a very difficult question last week, to the point where it took me a couple days to actually get back to him on it. So we'll talk about that question and why it was so difficult. Discussion of the week is now going to be an interview, not just a discussion. It's from Mantic59's interview with Chatillon Lux. And then we also have a review based, a very small, short product review on the Dollar Store DE. If you live in the United States and you're close to a dollar store, we'll talk about that too. There is an actual DE razor, double-edged safety razor, that is available for $1, and I've been using it, and it's not that bad, guys, believe it or not. It's actually probably a fair razor for the price, definitely. We'll talk about that, and we'll also go over what's coming up on the cast and the future. Whoa, the future. Scary, right? No, not much going on in the future here. We're going to be taking, possibly taking the podcast to the road in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk about that as well. So without further ado, guys, let's get on with the show. All right, so Phoenix Artisan Accoutrements recently came out with a type of a dedication razor to the Schick Type L. If you guys are not aware or not familiar with this, the Schick Type L was a razor. It was around 20 years, almost 15 to 20 years it was out. Injector style, made with a plastic handle, very easy to use, very mild, very very nice razor. Very popular razor. Actually, there's probably millions of them out there at one point, maybe hundreds of thousands, but there were a lot of them out. And the team at PAA, they decided to make a razor based on that. And I haven't used one yet. I'm thinking about picking it up. I don't really use injector style razors too often. I have a couple of them. I'm more of a straight razor and a double edge guy. I don't really use too many single edges, unless here or there. I do have some injectors, and I have some Mongoose razors and stuff. I mean, I have just about everything gem style. I do use them. They're great razors as well. I probably need to revisit them more often than I do, because it's just a little you gotta pay respect to all types of wet shaving, right? So this razor's out, and it's available. It's been getting some decent reviews. It's a very affordable razor. It's under $20. I believe it's only like $18 from PAA. I left the link in the show notes. And so if you've tried it or if you're interested in trying it, go check them out. And if you have tried it, let me know. Give me a review on it, or send me a note on the email regarding your experience with this razor, because I'm interested in finding out. For me right now, I'm kind of slowing down on buying stuff. I have so much stuff. I've sold so much stuff too. You know what I'm saying? I just did like a big spring cleaning. I probably sold about 40 soaps, and I'm getting ready to start buying some fall stuff coming up and start, the collection fresh. That's another discussion we'll talk about, about how long can your collection last. And here and there you can get probably around 2 years for soaps, and aftershaves last longer, razors last forever, brushes last forever, really, if you take good care of them. So for me, I just got my schedule so tight right now, when I have so much stuff I have to review and talk about, that I'm starting to get a little bit overwhelmed. So this razor is definitely on my hit list right now. I'm definitely going after it, and I have it in the cart, so I'm gonna probably get one of these and talk about it soon. Awesome concept, great, and it's a great price too. I mean, you gotta admit, $18, you can't really go wrong with it. So check them out, guys. Check them out. PAA, PhoenixArtisanAccoutrements.com. All right, so Peter He sent me an email regarding a question of his. Right? The question was, if I can only have one DE razor for the rest of my life, what would it be? So it took me about 2 days to get back to Peter, because it's a very difficult question to ask, I guess, me, because I'm a collector and I enjoy this stuff, that for me to use one razor for the rest of my life, or even for a week, would be a difficult type of thing for me to do. So I took a few days and let it really reflect. And I was thinking about, well, you know, he was looking at purchasing a razor. All right, so he was looking at getting a razor, a new razor. And I was thinking, okay, so some of my razors that are my favorites are not available anymore. You know, they're not, you can't buy them, can't find them. They're nowhere, right? They're just discontinued. They've been done. They're not being made anymore, or they're being made at a very limited capacity. So I said, you know what? I got to be completely honest. I'm not going to tell them I'm going to buy a Gillette Fat Boy and have it forever, you know, because that's not really what I want. That's not what I would choose. So the answer I gave him was, to answer your question correctly, Peter, one safety razor for the rest of my life would be a toss-up between the BBS-1 and the Tradero C. And these razors are currently my favorite ones, and I reach for them quite often. I would lean towards the BBS-1, though. I'm looking at it from a point of collectible, like the razors that I enjoy using the most. I do enjoy using the BBS-1. I do enjoy using the Tradero C just as much. If you're not familiar with both these razors, the BBS-1, we just had an article written on it, a review article, history article on it. It's a razor that's no longer being produced. There's only a few hundred made. And the Tradero as well. The Tradero C, I have both Tradero's and OC and a solid bar. And both those razors are really good. They're really different razors. They were only made for like a year, maybe 2 years, a year and a half. And there's only several hundred, if not maybe 1,000 of them made. So these razors, I mean, it's not really fair to go telling everybody, hey, this is the razor that I would do. But if I would buy one today, right, that I would have to keep forever, it would be, you know, I think the Wolfman razors are great, a 0.67 gap. I also like the Paradigm Titanium V2. I just tried it. I think that razor is awesome. You know, I think the Charcoal Goods and Timeless razors are great. I think anything that they make is good. If you're into single edges, if that's what you're looking for, you know, Mongoose makes a great razor. The Cobra, you know, you have a lot of good razors like that. The King Cobra is also a good one. And this is just a difficult question because I can't really even get down to one answer right now talking to you guys. If you're looking at vintage, I would say, you know, anything Gillette adjustable is good. You know, I love some of those older techs. Those basic techs are really easy. Double ring, single ring, you know, old types. Those razors shave very nicely. A little bit more aggressive, so I like them too. Notice how I'm just sitting here thinking. It's just so many things coming off my mind. Like adjustable razors today, the Rex razor is awesome. The Rex adjustable is a good shave. They've gotten really good with everything on that razor. I mean, everything, the quality and everything is there. So that's a good razor. You know, I'm sure the Rockwell razors are coming out. That would be great. The regular Rockwell razors are great. I mean, there's so many good items out there. To pinpoint it to one, it's very, very difficult. So, Peter, I'm sorry that I gave you a long answer when I sent the email because it was very difficult for me to come out with one. So, guys, if you're looking to purchase a new razor and you need some help, feel free to email me. I can give you a good like insight of what the razor is and if it's worth it or not. I know a lot of these razors are starting to pull some big money right now and on the secondary market, and so it's difficult to find. It also hypes up razors to the point where you may think it's something that it's not, or you may think that it's something that's better than it's not, or it's just one of those razors that you just want to, you know, you want to use, you want to try, and it's just kind of like, oh, okay. All right, it wasn't that great. So just, you know, if you have any questions, feel free to ask. I've tried a lot. If not, I have a lot of friends that have in the witch-shaving world that tried mostly everything. So, Peter, I hope this answered your question in the easiest way, but if it was one razor for the rest of my life, it would be a toss-up between the two, the BBS-1, the Tradero C. Probably the BBS-1, though, if I can use it forever, just because of the way the razor is designed. And it's nice and mildly aggressive but efficient. I don't have to worry about cutting myself with it and having to think too hard, so I guess that would be it. And it's also a cool razor. I like it. It's my favorite one. One of my favorite ones, at least. All right, guys. Moving right along. We have a special interview. And with that, I'm going to let Mantic 59 take it from here.
Hi, Mantic 59 here at the 2018 Maggards Meetup in Michigan with Sean Mayer of Chantillon Lux. I got the name right?
Chantillon Lux.
Mm-hmm. Sean and I have had sort of a weird relationship at the Maggards Meetup. For the past 2 years, we have tried to get together for an interview, and for one reason or another, it never happened. So we were able to finally sit down today. Sean, for those who don't know you well. Can you give me a brief background on when you started, kind of your background, why you started the company, and kind of where you find yourself now?
Sure. It started in, actually, although I officially started in 2015, around 2014, we had a bitter cold winter in St. Louis, and it was just, you know, highs of 9 degrees, you know, every day. I had the beard. I had just shaved it off, actually. You know, just got into wet shaving. I actually watched a lot of your videos, and but you know, my face was just dying without the, you know, hair covered anymore. But I kind of was just over the beard, so I tried, you know, some really expensive balms, and they're really good. And I, you know, I really liked it, but I thought maybe I could make my own. I kind of, you know, whenever I have a hobby, I don't really like to be passive about it. I always kind of really want to be part of it. So I was working on making a balm, and I started working with scents, and I've always. Whenever I was in high school, the cool scents were like Tommy or CK1, and I was really into that, but I always liked fragrances, and my dad always influenced me in that he managed a lumberyard growing up. And so when I come visit him, you know, he especially loved red cedar, so if someone just shaved red cedar on the bandsaw, he'd make me come there and smell the wood chips or in different woods he had throughout the yard. And we go hiking, because he was a forestry major, he'd point out trees and have me smell the different trees and everything. But so, like, I inherited a love of fragrance for him, even though he wore Old Spice every single day until his son started making aftershave. But so I started doing this. I came up with a product. My friends really liked it, and they said, you should start selling this. A very good friend of mine, Jason Weathers, he and I started the business together originally. He has 4 kids, so obviously once it got more than just me and him having a couple beers and making, you know, stuff, he kind of got too busy for him. So he left the business, but, you know, his help was invaluable getting off the ground. So yeah, it just started off like that, and then I kind of, as I really fell in love with making fragrances, it kept going more and more. I kind of, you know, developed a plan for the business to kind of evolve into like a fine fragrances, aftershaves, like a men's, you know, like grooming, everything but the soap, basically. So that really developed, and it kind of started taking off, and I kind of, obviously, I have to mention my partnership with Declaration Grooming. Scott and I kind of got to know each other. We did a few collaborations where he took my scents, put them in his soaps. And it works so well, and we love working together so much. So it's kind of become a part of the line as well, where I have my stuff, I make my fragrances, do the stuff I love. Scott does the stuff I never really wanted to do. And it's, yeah, now it's got to the point now where I just went full-time, I guess, back in February. So, yeah, it's become my full-time business.
Full-time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, what were you doing before that?
I worked in an advertising agency as a brand strategist and a copywriter. So.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Great. Great. And for those who are not familiar with the name Declaration Grooming, that is the name of what was L&L, which is probably a name more people know. So just a quick, you know, update there. So this is your full time job now. What's your most popular product?
Well, I would say that Easy Rose Patchouli has always been a pretty popular product. It's a, you know, fresh scent. Yuzu is a Asian grapefruit. The aftershave I made, it had like the kind of the Korean yuzu, which is the sweet version. It kind of came in with that. I found like a sweeter rose too that kind of melded well with it. And the patchouli comes kind of underneath. It's not really like a dominant thing. It's there to kind of support, give it earthiness and a lift to it. But then this year, it came out the Yuzu Rose Patchouli Eau de Toilette, and I took the yuzu accord. I added the Japanese yuzu to the sweet Korean yuzu, because Japanese yuzu is kind of bitter, and then I added some neroli to give it like a sparkle, kind of made the rose a little more peppery, and gave the patchouli kind of added a different kind of patchouli blend to what I already had to kind of give it a more woodiness. So that Yuzu Rose Patchouli Eau de Toilette is the first fragrance release I've ever had, where I sold out the first batch before the second was done macerating. So that one has been a huge success, and my fragrance lines, I launched my Parfums line earlier this year. It is kind of like my luxury fragrance line. It started with Santaloster. It's a sandalwood scent. It uses real sandalwood essential oil, in addition with like oud and some, you know, kind of holy oils that are kind of used for, like, you know, in ceremonies. So it's got this rich kind of incense-y sandalwood scent, and it's, you know, it's like a higher end, you know, really, really nice materials. And I'm about to launch coming up this fall. I've been spraying all day-to-day Lamplight Penance. It's, you know, it's a scent that's got, like, at the top, it's got berries and peaches, daffodils. Then there's lamp oil and a burning wick, cedarwood, musk, leather, whiskey. It's gone over super well today, and I think that's going to be a big scent in the future.
Oh, great. Do you have a favorite for yourself?
Lamplight Penance has been big. I like that one. My girlfriend also likes wearing that. I know, I use Rose Patchouli, obviously, too, because, I mean, you know, please, the women in Unconditional Surrender also as well. It's like a personal favorite story of mine. It's one that I made that's kind of, it's got amber cigar tobacco, because it's based on Ulysses S. Grant's, obviously, has sort of a dark cigar tobacco, cedar wood, and it's kind of based on Ulysses S. Grant after he left the army, kind of, or booted from the army, and he's kind of planning a second act in life. He's kind of hit rock bottom, is selling cedar wood on the corner in St. Louis, and living in hardscrabble, and then he, you know, that's when he picked himself up by the bootstraps, joined the army, led the Union to the victory, so.
I see. Okay. What's changed over the last year or so for you?
Yeah, it's been big. Other going full-time is a huge thing. You know, launching the Parfums line was very big. It's my opportunity to really flex my muscles, kind of not have to abide by as many budgetary, you know, restraints, and kind of really see what I could do if I really stretched out and used all the resources available. And then also my Salves, the original product that was part of my original thing, I am reformulating it to make it more stable. Sometimes in heat, the oils kind of maybe can separate a little bit. I'm making it so the consistency is a little smoother, so it's easier to spread on. And also just simplifying the scents to make them a little more, just the three scents: unscented, fresh citrus, and pure lavender, all essential oils. It's going to be something that I think it can work well, not only for shaving, but also like as a beard balm, a tattoo balm, you know, a facial moisturizer, you know, anything that you kind of use like a moisturizer for. It's kind of more a multi-purpose tool, pre-shave even. So yeah, it's been a pretty big year.
Great, great. Where do you see the market heading in the next year or so?
I think that it's really been interesting because as shaving soap makers has become more ubiquitous, I think it's been interesting and really exciting, honestly, to see where people are branching out to find, you know, different things to do. I know my fellow St. Louis and Jonathan from Sudsy Soapery, he and I, in fact, he's made a shaving soap of my Dolor de Jason. He's also made a bath soap of it, and we were working on maybe some other project in the future. I know he's doing, like, working on candles. He's made a deodorant. He makes a bar shampoo and conditioner I really love. You know, and other people doing that, like, I know Sterling, you know, has a lot of that kind of thing, too. And I think that's really cool to see kind of people go to the entire grooming process. That way, if you have a company, you know, you like and you trust, it's cool to be able to buy more than just one product from them. I think that's a good movement. I also think that lots of people are just trying to find new and exciting ways to be unique, just even within shaving soap or aftershaves and stuff like that. So it's exciting.
Okay. Given what you said about the branching out into other grooming and things, what do you think, what do you wish your customers knew more about before selecting a product?
That's a good question. I think that it's kind of a thing where it's, maybe, I think it's good to know a lot, but maybe sometimes it's just fun just to try something and to see if you like it or not. Like, I think that sometimes it's, you know, I understand, and I am not trying to say, I've read recently that the human nose receptors that kind of translate scent for you, they can change up to 40% from person to person. So it's kind of like, I can tell you all the notes on my scent. I can tell you what the inspiration was. All my scents are inspired by, you know, the history of South City and St. Louis, you know, from Ulysses S. Grant to Henry Shaw. But sometimes if it sounds kind of intriguing, the only way to know is to really experience it. That's why I sell, like, you know, samples of all my fragrances on my website. You know, it's just, do you like it or you don't? I think that's kind of what it boils down to. So I think it's good to know. I think it's good to be educated. I also think it's good to sometimes just say, you know what, why not? What the heck?
Okay, great, great. Well, I'm glad we finally got to sit down together after a couple of years, and thanks for coming down, and appreciate your time, and let's do this again.
It's a blast. I'll see you next year, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
Fantastic.
All right, guys, awesome interview. Can't get much better than that. A great company, great success story, starting off as just messing around, really, and now it's a full-time job for him. Really, Sean, great job. Keep it up. And we look forward to seeing some new products in the near future. All right, guys. Well, here's the most expensive review we've ever done here at What's Shaving Talk. Actually, the least expensive. The Dollar Store DE. Yes, I've been using this razor. I've tried it. If you are in the United States and you live by a Dollar Tree, check out their shaving section, their little home and beauty section. There's a good chance you'll find a bin of these double-edged safety razors, right? These razors are a dollar, and let me tell you, they're based off like an old Gillette flare tip or Gillette Super Speed design. It's a copy, right? And it's a cheap razor, but it shaves nicely, okay? It's very mild. It's very easy to use. I just used it this morning. It's not bad. It's not high quality. It's very light. I didn't use the blades that came with it. I decided against it, but this razor for a buck, hey, you know, what can you do? It's a great razor. For a dollar, I don't think you can get much better than that at the moment because... Hey, look at all the razors we could spend hundreds of dollars. So now, if I'm going to travel with a razor, this would be the one to travel with because I don't care if I lose it. I don't care if I find it. I don't care what happens to it. I can get another one, right? So, guys, check it out. The Assured, whatever brand it is, safety razor at the Dollar Store. I'm doing a video on one. I'll have it on the next podcast. And just look on my YouTube channel. It should be coming up in the next couple of days. I just wanted to make sure it's a nice video, all set and ready to go for this razor. So check them out, guys. The Dollar Store DE, not that bad. Not that good, but not that bad. It's definitely a good razor to start out with or to travel with. All right, guys, and that concludes the podcast for the week. I hope you enjoyed everything we did to this actual show with the interviews and getting more of those involved in the podcast actual setting. We're going to be doing more and more of that, and I'm going to actually be starting to do some interviews too as soon as I start meeting up with some vendors and artisans alike. So look out for more of those, but it'll be periodically. It won't be every show. It'll probably be once a month or once every couple of months, you know, here and there, just to keep it nice and fresh. So guys, remember, our show is powered by Sharpologist.com, what your father didn't teach you about shaving. Special thanks to Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59, for everything that he does with the community and for the podcast as well. Most of all, thank you guys, the listeners. Without you, there would be no podcast. Don't forget to check out my blog site at ShaveStraightAndSafe.com, and also, feel free to contact me at any time at joe.whatshavingnews@gmail.com. Remember, my YouTube channel is up and active, and if you're looking for some interesting videos, check it out. Link is in the show notes. Our next show will be September 3rd, 2018. Until then, shave straight and shave safe. Bye-bye now.